Arihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Duryodhana and Shakuni and Karna are discussing about their position and that, and the Karna's coming back. And whether they will and their position and everything like that. And so that brings us into where we are now. The Kaurava prince folded his palms and bowed slightly as his uncle entered the room. Right? So Shakuni came to where Duryodhana is sitting with Karna. After taking a seat, Shakuni said, "O ruler of men, having exiled the Pandavas by your own prowess," right? Because it's his dice and all that, but you know, it's because he was enthusiastic about it and all that. And you want to also make him feel that he's the doer, because he sanctioned it and he's the authority there in that sense, then he's the one that actually got them to go. And Shakuni then sees himself as an assistant in the whole process. So, having exiled the Pandavas by your own prowess, you now enjoy this earth. Indeed, you have no rivals. The prosperity of Yudhishthira once possessed is now yours. That great wealth that was formerly the cause of your grief is now your happiness. You have achieved everything by the force of intellect alone. All the world's kings are subservient to you, and you are adored by countless Brahmins. Right? He's pointing out all these nice things. By intellect alone means you just thought up different plans and schemes. So it's basically by diplomacy and politics. But you use intelligence, so if I say someone's being diplomatic, but I say, oh, he's being intelligent, it sounds so much better. Right? Shakuni smiled as he saw Duryodhana listening to his own praises with relish. Right? Because Shakuni smiled, you know, one is he said it and now Duryodhana will be happy, and so that's a good thing. But at the same time, as he would be smiling because Duryodhana is so easily controlled like that. Pressing his fingertips together, he went on, "Why not pay a visit to the Pandavas, who have never accepted your rule? Surrounded by the Kurus, just as Yamaraj is surrounded by the Rudras, go and scorch the Pandavas with the sight of your splendor," right? Because they have all that their wealth they have as kings and all that, and the Pandavas are living in the forest as ascetics. But it's also the wealth of Yudhishthira that will be being shown or flaunted. So they're especially putting on how wealthy and what, because they're not going to go, his point is this, the going to the forest, it's not about going, you know, just set up for going to the forest. You're going to go in full royal regalia as if you were in the court, just to show off your wealth. Prosperity that is seen by both friend and foe is real prosperity. Like, because if you have prosperity, no one sees it. On the materially social platform, what's the point? Let's say you have a very, very expensive, you know, watch or something. But if nobody sees it or notices it, it has no effect. You know, it could have easily have been, you know, a 100-rupee watch you were wearing, and no one would notice it. So what does it matter? Let the wives of the Kuru company accompany you in their finest dress and look upon Draupadi clad in barks. What greater happiness could you experience, right? Because he's so envious, Duryodhana, that simply seeing the Pandava's distress actually makes him happy. So he's seeing, you know, he's happy. Why not go and be more happy? Karna voiced his approval with a laugh, but Duryodhana appeared pensive. "I am not sure. I don't think Father will allow me to go to the Dvaitabhan. My motives would be too obvious for him. Indeed, the old man is grieving for what we have accomplished, and he considers that they may have become more powerful by their ascetic practices." Like Duryodhana doesn't consider that. He considers they're out in the forest, they have nothing, they don't have their allies, they don't have any wealth to gain allies and all that. They haven't been, you know, doing that, what do you call it, political networking in which they're maintaining all these things. And so he sees that as his power, and that's what he's been doing. So he doesn't see it that he's been sinful, they've been pious, they've done asceticism. That's why Dhritarashtra is so worried that Arjuna in his own body went to the heavenly planets. Right? Not that he had to change bodies and go there. No, he went in his own body. Because you can only go to the heavenly planets in your own body if you are that pious. So his point is that kind of piety his sons don't have. And so it's actually piety that wins. Right? You know, in the long run, you might immediately, sinful activities might get you an advantage. But in the long run, one will be destroyed. As he thought of the Pandavas in the forest, Duryodhana smiled. It would certainly be enjoyable to see their poverty and suffering while displaying his own wealth. Gradually, his malice overshadowed his doubts. Right, so his envy or his inimical attitude towards the Pandavas then slowly overcame his doubts. And then he thought, okay, this sounds like a great idea. In other words, they're envious, and to be able to express that envy makes them even feel better. Because if the friends think, oh, so opulent, and the enemies become even more disturbed, then it makes you feel better. Nonetheless, your suggestion finds favor with me. O hero, what would be a greater delight than to see the Pandavas sunk in misery? Perhaps we can devise some means by which the king could be convinced to let us go. If Dharmaraj, Arjuna, and especially Bhima were to see me graced with their wealth, right? You know, that means, so he'll be specific to do things and show wealth that he gained from their kingdom, right? You know, his own, that people know, but use stuff that they had. Then the goal of my life would be attained. Right? He's a rotten apple. That would be. There's nothing, how you say, rotten to the core, right? You know. The three Kurus agreed that some feasible reason for the going had to be found, right? Because otherwise the king would automatically see, oh, this is what you're doing. Pondering the problem, they each left for their own abodes. The next morning, Karna said to Duryodhana, I have found a plan that will work. I have learned that our cattle herds are now in the Dvaitavan. They need to be checked and counted, and it is always proper for this to be overseen by the Kshatriyas, right? Because the others might come back and say, yes, 100,000 cattle are there, and they're all healthy and strong and all that. And so the king goes, oh, okay, great. But then he goes there and checks himself. He might find that there's only 5,000 cows and they're sick, and the other 95,000 have already been sold by all those guys taking care of. You know, so that's why the kings, they have their people, and they do things through their people, but they also have to have ways to check. You know, if somebody does something, you have to be able to check what he does. And now and again, personally, they need to go and check. If you tell your father that you wish to do this service, he will surely give his permission. Right? You just say you're doing that. You don't tell him how you're going to go there and dressing and everything. As they were speaking, Shakuni arrived and said the same thought had occurred to him. They felt certain that this was a perfect pretext. And they laughed together and shook each other's hands. They decided to go that day to see the king. Right? So they were very pleased with themselves. You know, so we see as Krishna's arrangement that their cows are in the Dvaitavan. Otherwise, then, you know, why would they have any reason to go over there? Coming before Dhritarashtra, they inquired about his welfare, and in return he blessed them with affectionate words. As they sat together, a cowherd, whom Duryodhana had instructed before him, came into the room and spoke to Dhritarashtra about his cows. Taking the opportunity, Karna then said, O king, the cattle are now in a charming woodland, and the time for marking the calves has come. This is an excellent season for your son to go hunting. Why not have him go to the Dvaitavan to check the cattle? Shakuni and I will accompany him there. The king looked doubtful. O child, although hunting and seeing the cattle are both proper acts for rulers, I have a concern. The Pandavas are reported to be living somewhere in that region, so I feel you should not go there. You have defeated them by deceitful means, and thus they are living exiled in the forest. Although Dharmaraj will never become angry, the same cannot be said for Bhima, right? because he might get so disturbed. And Draupadi is effulgence herself, and she is endowed with great ascetic merit and capable of consuming you by her curse. Full of pride and folly as you are, you will surely offend her and thus be reduced to ashes. And she only checked herself before, but technically speaking, is if she gave a curse, the whole dynasty would be, as I said, reduced to ashes. It means there'd be nothing left. There's such power. Like, so we see before, and see the attitude Draupadi had towards her husbands and all that, you see is, okay, so taking a submissive role, but at the same time, it gives her a power that's actually even greater than her husband's. So that's always the thing in the Vedic. Everything's balanced. The modern is, no, I want everything. You know, I want to be in charge. I want to have all the power. I want to have all the... But nothing is like that. It's always you have one thing, something else will go down. You have the other thing, it goes up. You know, like that. So that's the position, is that you always have to see is that you have to choose what's the appropriate thing. And then by that, that power is there. That facility, that power, everything comes together. Dhritarashtra continued, his heart burning as he again remembered the Pandu sons and their chaste wife. Perhaps the Pandavas themselves will consume you with the fire of their weapons. Or if from the force of numbers you seek to injure them, then that would be improper. And I know you can never succeed. The mighty armed Arjuna has returned from heaven and now possesses all the celestial weapons. So even if you say, we go with a great army, and it's just the five Pandavas, Arjuna alone himself could defeat them with one of his celestial weapons. Even without those weapons, he was capable of conquering the earth. Even just how he can shoot arrows, he could conquer them all. He's the best. Why then will he not now kill you all? I suggest that you order some trusted men to go there in your place. Leave well enough alone and do not disturb the Pandavas, who are like sleeping lions. So he's, you know, he's concerned. One is on the aspect of that they're disturbed and all that, and so then it could be a problem. And he knows Duryodhana doesn't necessarily know how to behave, at least with them. Politically he does when he wants to get something. But you're going to have the aspect that he's concerned, that doesn't want to lose his son. And so that affection and all that, then he's worried that if he goes there, there'll be a problem. Shakuni rubbed his chin. Oh, descendant of Bharata, the eldest Pandava is dedicated to virtue and cannot possibly harm us while he is fulfilling his vow in the forest. His brothers are obedient to him and will do likewise. Right? So they're counting on that, actually, that they would stay there. Otherwise, if it was up to Bhima or Krishna or any of the residents at Dwarka, at that first time they came and visited them after 3 months, they would have rallied together, the forces gone in there and destroyed Duryodhana at the time. So it's only because he's taken that vow, then they know, okay, we don't have to worry. Nor do we wish to see the Pandavas. We shall not even approach them, right? Oh, we're not interested in them. We're just going there for the Kauravas. Need not fear any misconduct on our part. Although the king was hardly convinced by Shakuni's words, being repeatedly requested, he finally agreed to let Duryodhana go. The prince quickly assembled a large force of men, right? A large force, not just him and a few people and all that. With all his brothers and thousands of women, right? So it would be his brothers, their wives, and their maidservants, right? Because it's one thing, okay, the king is there with his wife. Okay, you know, the brothers are there with their wives. Okay, fair enough. But they come there with all their maidservants. Like, who goes out into the forest with the maidservants? You know, the wife might want to come along. Okay, you take one or two, but thousands of them. So they're just trying to show off there. You know, each queen has all her maidservants. They soon set off for the forest. 8,000 chariots, 30,000 elephants, 9,000 horses, and many thousands of infantry accompanied them. Right, so this is a large force. Military force. So he's showing the prowess, and in that they're going to have them all decked out very nicely. Right? Carriages, shops, pavilions, traders, bards, and men trained in hunting followed them. Right? So everyone goes there, and then they all set up all that. So basically they go up there and it becomes like a village with a whole market and everything and everybody doing things and buying things and all those things like that. As the procession moved off, it resounded like the deep roar of the winds during the monsoon season. So very big. Arriving at the Dvaitavan, Duryodhana camped about 4 miles from the lake. His many attendants built him a house surrounded by fruit trees near a good water supply. Separate houses were constructed for Karna, Shakuni, and Duryodhana and his brothers. Duryodhana then went to see the large herd of cattle. He examined their limbs and supervised their counting and marking by the herdsmen. When all the work was done, the Kuru prince wandered cheerfully throughout the region. Right, so he actually did the work because it needed to be done. And as a king, that's one of the major aspects of your wealth is the cows. So he wanted to make sure that it was taken care of nicely. But then he wandered cheerfully throughout the region, enjoying himself with his friends and the women. His entourage roamed about the woodlands at pleasure, like the celestials enjoying themselves in the Nandana groves. Right, so one is they're going to be enjoying themselves because they've gone out. It's like a picnic, so it's naturally a more relaxed and time of entertainment and enjoyment. But at the same time, as he knows that in this, and the more they're enjoying and all that, then the Pandavas see the more they'll be disturbed. The herdsmen, who were expert at singing and dancing, entertained their royal guests, who in turn distributed first-class food and drinks to the herdsmen. And so they would sing and dance and do all these nice things, you know, because they're very expert at it, because they sit out there. So if you sit out with the cows all day, you become good at singing. You know, how do you keep yourself busy, right? And so then they would have brought all kinds of first-class things with them, the Duryodhana. And so then like that, they give that kind of food and drinks to the herdsmen, which they won't get. They live out in the forest, so they're going to live off of forest fare. You know, just what they can collect in the forest and things like that. After the entertainment, Duryodhana decided to go hunting. Attended by his followers, he went about the forest killing hundreds of bison, buffaloes, boar, deer, bears, and gavias. The hunting afforded him the opportunity to see the delightful regions in the forest, which resounded with the sweet notes of peacocks and swarm of bees intoxicated by the honey of fragrant flowers. As the prince went through the forest like Indra amid the gods, he grandly came to the Dvaitavan lake, right, because they had information. Because that Brahmin came before and said they were at the Dvaitavan lake. And so why would they go anywhere else, right? You know, so they're going to be at that point. That's where the Brahmins are, and that's the waters there. And so you can do everything and all that there. And so now he's gradually come to the lake because he wants to show off, right? On the opposite shore of the lake, Yudhishthira was performing the sacrifice known as Raja Rishi. Guided by the Brahmins, he sat with Draupadi making offerings into the sacred fire, right? Because as a grihastha, then it's the grihastha, the husband and wife together, that make the sacrifice complete. So it's not that he can do on his own without the wife. Duryodhana desired to display his opulence before the Pandavas, instructed his men to build pleasure houses along the lake shore, right? The other side. So they're going to build they built before some nice, now they're going to build nice pleasure houses. You know, that'll be specifically, the other ones may be more for staying at night and all that, but these are more open and more decorated to be more just for, you know, enjoying yourself in. So that's the thing to put there, because if you have that, that means you have to have something else also. Right? So just more opulence. They immediately went towards the lake and looked for a suitable site. But as they came close to the lakeside, they heard a voice calling, "Stop! Who are you and why have you come to this place?" "Nobi to be Chitrasena, the Gandharva king. This lake and its surrounding woodlands belong to me." Right, so this must be his area. And that, and then he establishes there. So, you know, who's friends of him and this and that. So the Brahmins can live there. Yudhishthira and the Pandavas can live there. You know, because Chitrasena is, you know, their friends. And so, like that, but here these kings have come. Why are they coming here? This is the Gandharva's place. And it must be also the coming at noontime, you know, when it's the Gandharva's time. Duryodhana and his soldiers looked around and saw the Gandharva surrounded by other celestials and apsaras. He was sporting in the lake, and he told the soldiers to go back to wherever they had come from. Okay, now the continuation will be next time. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.